Hello and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
Good morning. You all right? Yeah, that's good. And it's great to be here this morning, and if I got a bit of a croaky voice, we were at a wedding yesterday, and it wasn't because I was dancing the night away, it's just the fact that I just talked and just caught up with friends and family. So it just, my croaky voice makes me sound like more mature and an older person, so that's quite cool. Anyway, so what we're going to look at today is continue with the series of church, belonging, committing and and growing. And this is really, really important for the life of the church. You know, we can just go through our day-to-day, week-to-week, and year-to-year, and just exist as church. But actually, this is really, really important to kind of be reminded this morning of the fact that actually we're more than that. And this is about a church advancing and moving forward. And I've got the absolute privilege and joy this morning to speak about mission, and that's what we're going to look at today. And mission, I think, really has kind of sometimes been a bit too much reserved for the fact that we think mission, we think of like overseas, we think that's somebody that's going on overseas mission and off they go, and we might see them in a few years' time. Actually, that can be a very dangerous way of thinking, because that can be very, very exclusive, when actually we are all called to be on a mission. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit in a few moments. But what I want you to do, in kind of the person next to you, maybe if you don't know them, maybe you know them really well, whatever, but I just want you just to kind of just ponder this question and just share with one another. Who did Jesus hang out with when he walked on this earth? Who did Jesus hang out with? So turn to the person near you. I'll give you literally about 2 minutes just to think about that. Okay, just 30 more seconds. Okay. There's a question that I kind of was living with for all this week, and just thinking about actually Jesus sets the example for us. And You know, we could, there's some names, people that actually have named, that are named in the Bible and that Jesus spent time with. But then there's just kind of like, I just listed a kind of different examples. And, you know, he spent time with outcasts. So people with leprosy, unclean women. He spent time with widows, which was not seen as the done thing back in those times. He spent time with religious people, the Pharisees, temple leaders and such like. He spent time with men and women that followed him. We know them as disciples. He spent time with children, so the young and old, the physically disabled, demonized people, the brokenhearted, the lonely, the isolated, even with a Roman centurion, so like the occupying force, the occupied army. He spent time with the rich, the poor, met with people one-to-one or in crowds. The point is, it didn't matter whether you were working, middle or upper class, is the fact that actually in society, Jesus spent time with people. And if you just briefly just look around the room and just look at each and every person, is the fact that we all carry a story. We all carry a story that, and I appreciate some people here may not yet know Jesus, but actually for the majority, we've all come to a place in our lives where we recognize that Jesus came to save us, to save me. And that's how I look at people, is that we all have a story. That story for us is the fact that one day we were sinners, the next we are now citizens of heaven because of Jesus. And for us, when we look at the story of Jesus, you know, he was even mocked by religious people, and it says this in Matthew 9 verse 11, where he's actually accused of being friend of sinners. And I think something that I want to talk about today as a church is about who we hang out with. Who do we spend time with? And are we having an influence on the people around us as well? And for us as well, what Jesus teaches us with the way that when we look through the Gospels of who he spent time with is an example for us that actually the church was never meant to be represented by a building. And I know, like this morning, we say, I'm going to church. I think that kind of language is fine. We don't want to get too complicated and kind of try and come up with new terms and names to say that we're coming to church. I love coming here on Sundays because it's an opportunity to hang out with one another and worship Jesus together and continually move forward together. But actually, we need to be constantly reminded that the church is not the bricks and mortar of a building. Church is not this. It's not EH32990, okay, that's the postcode here, just in case you're wondering. The building is a facility. It's a tool for us to use, but it's not the church. The church is you and I, okay? We make up one body, made up of many parts, bringing different skills, talents, gifts, and stories, as I said before, of how Jesus changed us. The church is a breathing, living bride of Christ. And that's what we've got to keep reminding ourselves of. Because unfortunately, along the way, the church tends to be represented by the location on the Sunday mornings. And its congregations gathering once a week for its Sunday service. And that's a danger that we've got to be careful of, that we don't slip into, because we need to move away from this belief. And actually, it's more like a Western kind of culture belief that as a church, that's what we do. We gather on a Sunday. But that's very limiting, because actually church is 7 days a week. It's 24/7. And the reason is, it's the church is not the building, it's you and I. And the amazing joy and privilege we have is we get to carry Jesus, take the presence of Jesus wherever we go. Whether that's in your home, in your workplace, or the people that you meet with, whatever goes on in your day-to-day, we get the absolute privilege and joy to take the presence of Jesus wherever we are going. And when I say that, when we think about the church and we think about what Jesus did, Jesus, if we follow in his footsteps, he did hang out with outcasts in society, the lost and broken, because he was creating a model of how to build his church one lost sheep at a time. And we've got to see about moving step by step about the fact that as a church, what Lighthouse can do and have an impact in the community around us. And mission means to go and take the message of Jesus into the world. And this kind of broad picture, it's whether that's your neighbor or whether that's to a group of people on the other side of the world. We are called to engage, encourage, and point people to Jesus that will lead people to repent from their sins, to surrender to him, and to follow him. That's what we're called to do while we're on this earth, is to point people towards Jesus. Now, I know that some of you sitting here will be conflicted with that because that fills you with a kind of sense of, not dread in a terrible way, but in a sense of like, oh, that's quite a responsibility and I don't quite know how to do that. And my encouragement this morning is don't panic, because I want to hopefully help you just kind of build step by step. Because when you give your life to Jesus, in that moment, it doesn't mean, right, you've got to have your life all sorted out and everything is rosy and now you're going to be the kind of key evangelist in the church. It's not like that. It's a relationship with Jesus. And like any other healthy relationship, it's about actually building it up step by step as you get to know him more and get to hear his voice more. And I love that kind of, didn't Chris lead us so well in worship this morning? And the fact that the way that Chris led us in that time, just waiting on God, there's that sense of actually, yeah, I'm just getting to know God a bit more and a bit more, what it is to have that kind of intimate relationship with Jesus. And as we get fueled by that, as we get in a place of knowing him more and more, then we are encouraged and we increase in boldness. We increase in a sense of like, hey, I can do this. And it doesn't matter what background you come from. It doesn't matter your story. It doesn't matter how long you've been a follower of Jesus. Jesus can use you. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah? Jesus can use you. It doesn't matter your background, your history, your story. You're not defined by your past. If you know Jesus, you're defined now by your relationship with him. That's exciting. That's amazing. So mission means to go. And Jesus says this in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And I'm just going to read out this. And so Jesus, the death, resurrection, and he's appearing to his disciples and he speaks to them and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the first part is he says, go. But he's not like saying, go, and I'm going to just now pop off and let you just get on with it. No, there's a promise here. He says, go. But he also says, I am with you always. Does anyone actually ever experience kind of challenging days or weeks in their life? All right, I know some of you have got it absolutely perfect. Everything is kind of lined up. Life is rosy. It's all good. No, life on this earth is tough. There are moments where we actually feel kind of stuck, or we might feel hurt, or we might feel like there's another week gone by and I've just gone around in circles and nothing seems to have changed. But actually, Jesus promises he's with you every step of the way. And he just invites you to say, just keep coming back to me. Just lay it down, whatever it is. And as you move forward, God is with you. But the important thing, we've got to keep moving forward in life. So Jesus is giving us permission to advance and take the good news wherever we go. But if there's a danger that if we ignore the go from Jesus and ditch the mission. And you know what? In the life of the church, and I don't know about you, but I find that quite tempting a lot of the time because I want to look out for number one. Yeah, that's the tendency, because we live in our own little kind of world and we can think, actually, I want to look after myself, but I've got to be reminded, no, Jesus commands us to go. And that goes for us as a body, as a church. There can be the temptation to turn in on ourselves and just go, hey, do you know what? Let's just shut the doors. Let's just have a holy huddle. Okay, we can be a believers of exclusively spending time together with no outsiders accepted in. Do you know where that church will head off if it does that? It will dwindle and it will die. And sadly and tragically, that does happen, and it happens way too many times. We saw it in where we've come from, living in Guernsey, a small island. We witnessed that happening, where tragically churches were just a congregation of just people just getting old together because they weren't focusing on mission, they were focusing on one another. I also want to add, I don't want to sound like I'm really negative about those people, because they cared a lot about their community together, but sadly they didn't allow mission to become like the heartbeat of the church. And it can just seep in. So we need to be on guard. We need to keep prodding and poking one another and say, come on, let's go. Let's do this. It's an encouragement from Jesus to be like him. Who are the people we hang out with is so important. And so mission can also be planned and, in one sense, unplanned. But I'm going to share some examples. And I just want to say, when I say planned and unplanned, it's not unplanned to God. Okay, I think it's, you know, God's above all things, and I think he's in control. Even in the times that we're not quite sure how things are going to pan out, I believe God is sovereign and he's above all things. So nothing is a surprise to him. But when I say plan and unplan, it's just as from our own perspective, as we take a step back and learn from these things, we can see, okay, yeah, there were moments where God led it, where you can see that it was kind of sit down and plan. And then there are those kind of spontaneous moments where actually those conversations take place. And I'm kind of going around in circles what I'm trying to explain here, and I'll just get on with it, okay? So mission, so planned, an example in Scripture is that Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. And in Matthew 10, he gives them specific instructions to preach, pray over the sick, so heal the sick. And we see those that actually, that's like a planned mission to go out. And so there would have been this kind of set of instructions and go, okay? Unplanned would be in Acts chapter 3. And Peter and John are on their way to the temple, and they come across a lame man. And I think it would be best to actually just read this to give the context. So this is chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. And I think most of you will be very familiar with the story. So now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and affixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement and at what had happened to him. Now that's an incredible, miraculous story in that very moment. But it's also, what is important is what happened after that. What happened after that is that it gave an opportunity for Peter to then share the good news, to preach the good news. And the end result from that unplanned moment when Peter and John decided to give time to a lame man, Acts 4 verse 4 says this, "Many of this who heard the word believed, and the number of the men," so it just says the number of men, we don't know the total number, "came to be about 5,000. Now that's quite an unplanned moment. Could you imagine that, you know, I know Danielle just says, "Oh, I've just been praying for someone and they get healed," and suddenly this room is filled with like hundreds of people. That would be quite chaotic. Can you imagine trying to disciple 5,000 people in one go? That's quite a challenge. But the fact is that they saw, and look, I'm going to be totally honest with you, there's a lot of times where I've walked past somebody or people and I kind of think, I should really stop, but I've got an appointment I need to go to, or I'm trying to justify. And why? Because I'm allowing fear overtake actually knowing that I carry the authority of Jesus. Yeah? But also, when I've done those things, and I'll mention this a little bit later on as well, just to kind of reaffirm, I've also had to learn over the years is not to let that guilt start to feed me. Because those things can then put fear in you, and you think, well, I'm just going to now close my eyes to the people around me. And actually, that can start to have a major negative impact on you. And we know that the enemy comes to condemn us, but Jesus came to set us free. And so actually, as believers in Christ, we want to make sure that we are looking to him, and in doing that, we actually know that we're not going to carry that guilt, we're going to carry the freedom. And we're going to go again. Let's go. That Matthew 28, what Jesus said, let's go. So it's okay, we want to be a place where we're also honest with one another. And if you ever carry that or feel that or at moments think, I get really stuck when I have conversations with people trying to get kind of talk about Jesus or anything of these things, is be open and honest with people around us. And just say, actually, can you pray for me? Because we know prayer brings breakthrough. Prayer is simply saying, I'm going to bring it to Jesus. Okay? It's not this super kind of like, let's make up this religious thing of, we'll just pray. No, we come as a people of God. We pray because it's our relationship with Jesus. That's the most important thing. And I might not have the answers, but when I pray for you, I know that Jesus has the answer. And so that's what we're looking for. Are you still with me? And my voice is still holding up right now, which is good. So, and then I think also just another example, unplanned. I love these kind of moments that the scheme of man, the scheme of enemy, tries to kind of squash faith, to try and kind of take apart people following Jesus. Acts chapter 8 is a great example. You don't have to turn to that now, but I just want to say that actually Christians are persecuted, but as believers scatter, I love this. This is how God works. They take the good news into new places and people are saved. That's unplanned, but not to God. All right? The scheme of man, scheme of the enemy is to say, let's persecute, let's try and kind of stamp this out. But instead, the good news of Jesus flourishes and it grows and it spreads. Okay? So let's not forget, whether it's planned or unplanned, we need to be, as a church, continually filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to shape us, to guide us, and enabling us to be on the lookout for any other opportunity that arises. Okay, that's the important thing. Whether it's planned or unplanned, it doesn't matter, as long as we come to God and we entrust him and say, help us to be a church, a body that keeps pressing on and keep moving on together. Okay. So, just moving on a little bit. The word mission is kind of being used in the church quite a lot in recent years. We would have probably used to say the word evangelism or being evangelistic was probably more the kind of phrase we would have used. Name doesn't really matter, okay? It just doesn't matter. I like the idea of mission because it's like we go together. And I know when I gave my life to Christ many, many years ago, I got very anxious when the church we were part of would make an announcement of some kind of evangelistic outreach event that was going to happen. And this is why I got nervous and anxious, but I can only reflect back now and think, was I being chicken or was there other reasons? And I think I came to learn that one thing is not a strength of mine is probably just going up to strangers and start talking about Jesus. Okay? I can be really honest with you, okay? That's just something I really have found quite difficult. There are people in this room that love that kind of stuff, that seem to have it's simply as a gifting. It's that kind of, just that passion they have that somehow I think, how on earth is that person going to start a conversation? I can think of different people in my head in this church and churches we've been part of before in the past where actually I think they're going to make a complete fool of themselves or they're going to get punched. Or something's going to happen where you think, how on earth? And then suddenly you watch it from a distance and they're both kind of smiling and they're just both nodding and they're kind of like, and then you suddenly see them laying their hand on the person's shoulder and they're praying. And I think, how do they do that? And you ask and you think, I couldn't do that. And that's not like a limiting what God can do through me, But I also believe that actually God uses people and he puts specific giftings on people. But that took me a long time to work out. And I think I applied then guilt and that whole thing of like, I'd rather run away than try and talk to a stranger about Jesus, okay? But actually, God uses us in lots of different ways. And I want to reaffirm each of you this morning and hopefully be an encouragement to you as we carry on, okay? So I used to get very anxious about that kind of thing. And maybe the part of that is maybe the way the church at the time may have spoken about it as well, that we all need to be kind of talking to strangers, that kind of stuff. And you kind of think, oh my goodness, that's really scary. All right, but I've actually learned over the years that God can use me in different ways, okay? But it takes that attitude, and I've tripped up many a times where actually as you go, that commandment of let's go, as you step out and trust God, okay, he uses you and reveals things to you that you may have never known before, okay? I'll give you an example that's just as I'm speaking, I'm just reminded of. We held a youth event for a couple of schools. We had a Christian band that came over. So this is Guernsey. It's a big thing when you fly a band in, okay? Because you can only get to Guernsey by boat or plane. That's it, all right? So we had a band, and then the idea is a friend of ours, who's an amazing gifted speaker from London, was going to fly in a couple of days later. So band goes into schools. They receive well. They're really, really good at what they did. And then actually the guy was going to fly in on the Friday. And if you know anything about island life, fog arrived. And when fog arrives, it just stops everything. So this guy wasn't able to come in. And even up to Friday tea time, we were like hoping that the plane was going to come in. And then it got cancelled. And so we're left with this band's going to play. And then we're going to share, he's going to share his story. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And I'm thinking of every kind of emergency exit that I could get out of the building, all right? And somebody else can do it. And I felt that kind of in that moment that, no, I need to share my story. And I did. Nobody got saved in that moment, and I want to come on to later on about actually your story and drip feeding hope and life and Jesus actually makes a difference. You may just not see it in your time, but it might be happening right now to someone that you had a conversation with a while back. But what it did actually, now my story is as important as anybody else's. And even though my story is not one like I was on the edge of death, actually, when you come to know Jesus, all our lives are on the edge of death, destined to darkness. But it's Jesus that's the light of the world. And maybe there's one or two people in here, maybe there's quite a number of you, you might feel my story is not as dramatic or as important as anybody else's. Do you know what? If you gave your life to Jesus, your story is as incredible and as powerful as anybody else's story. Okay? That's really, really important. So if you get those little whispers of saying, my story, not really much happened, then I want to say be set free from that. And it might be something that's just hanging over you that actually you might want to receive some prayer this morning. All right? I've gone off on a tangent. So if I find things not easy, okay, then actually what I need to do, when we're a church that's on a mission, advancing and moving forward, we need to find ways of actually saying, okay, I need to discover. I need to go on a little bit of a journey and exploring what it is that actually God might be calling to me. And sometimes that's planned and unplanned. One thing I learned as I once said to God, I'm never ever going to get involved in youth work. Don't ever say that, never. I ended up being employed full time, doing about 6 years leading youth work with Kim. Okay? Don't really get me involved in children's ministry. It's just not my. But I'm never going to say to God, never get me involved. All right. But actually, it's about exploring. But enjoy it along the way. Okay? Get involved. That's what church community is all about. It's about serving together and worshiping Jesus. It's about kind of, as a body of the church, it's alive. Are you alive this morning? Yeah, some of you are. That's great. So I want to give you a couple of examples of things. I've given you an example of actually youth ministry, of that kind of, in one sense, was a bit unplanned, that I said to God I'd never get involved in youth ministry. But then I had the absolute privilege that over the years of seeing many young people come to know Christ. And sometimes God used me in those moments to pray for people to lead them to Christ, which is an absolute privilege and joy. Equally, what's a privilege and joy is seeing others also praying for people and seeing them saved as well. So even though I was not really kind of, I find it really hard to kind of just go up to strangers and just think of a conversation that doesn't include weather or sport. And if they don't like sport, then I'm starting to get a bit stuck what to talk about. Okay, there are things you can do. You can actually be prepared and just think what questions I could have conversations with if conversations come up soon. But we got involved in something we just called Bless, which was in the local areas, a bit like Preston Pans in the sense of a row of shops. And by the way, Preston Pans more than that, before I offend anyone. Okay, but actually Bless was simply, we decided there was a number of young people that would just hang out around there. And actually we thought the best way we need to do is to connect with young people. And they were getting a bad reputation in that area because they were causing all kinds of trouble outside different shops. So all we did, we took some tables, and we took flasks of hot chocolate. I think we took coffee out, which was probably not a good ingredient to give young people that were already had to kind of get into trouble with shops. But hey, we gave them coffee and such like. But you know what we did? I've got no kind of transformation stories in those moments that I know of. But what we did is we faithfully served them is that we built friendships with them. And they began to open up. And they began over time to just get to know them. Now, I'm going to say that whatever, as I say, I've got not one example in that moment of going to serve them to hear about someone come to know Christ. But I know actually some of them that were very hardened to church, the idea of church, actually they began to soften. And it's an example in those moments of actually a seed has been sown. And I don't know where they are now, but I know actually I still know one or two. And actually just thinking of it when we left Guernsey, when we had a leaving party, one of the guys that we got to know through that came to our leaving party. And that was something that happened about 15 years ago. And he came to our leaving party. So sometimes you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. But what I can do is keep praying for them. An example is a bit of a planned one, is at the Alpha course. Okay? Now, of course, is really just kind of giving these different headings about what is Christianity, what is the church. There's lots and lots of questions. What actually I came to discover is I really enjoyed being on the table, just being a table leader. That filled me with dread at the first time because I thought, what happens if I don't have the answer that they're going to ask? It's okay to say, I'm not quite sure, but I want to find out for you. Or we could talk about it. And do you know what? We formed some really good friendships with people. And through that, we saw the absolute privilege and joy of people being saved. And it's amazing. And being added to the church. Yeah? You know, God doesn't want a church to stay at a certain place. He wants us to go and to grow. Okay. Well, there's a slogan. Go and grow. All right. We'll copyright that one right now. Okay. Yeah. So for us, it's about actually, you know, planned and unplanned. It's seeing things being transformed in the moment. Or it might take years and years, and we may not get to hear about it until we're called home. We got involved, and I shared, I'm not going to go into this last time I spoke, we did the church we came from, it's called the Mind Cafe, and it was actually, we got asked by a secular charity called Mind to set up a cafe, and they were meant to be kind of leading it, but actually it was faithfully led by the leadership team there that actually in the end they didn't bother turning up really, but they were available if we needed to if we had any issues. But what it had was that people would come that were just had carrying all kinds of issues. Most people were struggling with mental health. Obviously that's obviously what Mind is about. But we just served coffee and cake, and we just sat and we just talked. And I can tell you that over those couple of years, that people saw that as a place of feeling safe. And it led them to asking questions about church. What else do you do? Some of these folks started to come along, and they came along to Sundays, they came along to other activities the church put on. And then some of them got saved and been baptized. I love those kind of journeys. But do you know what? We're quite an impatient bunch, aren't we? We love to see everything done quite instant. Yeah? But some things take a long time. And that's okay. But we just need to serve Jesus faithfully. And it's actually realizing that actually we can read the Bible and think everything happens in a moment. It's like the book of Acts. It's a pacey book. But actually they reckon it's about every chapter represents about a year. Okay? So that might change your perspective of actually we can read this stuff and think it all happens instantaneously. But actually, God is a God that can take his time. And it's good. And we learn along the way. You still with me? Okay. So a question I want to ask over the next few weeks in our lives is just to think about who do we hang out with? Okay? It's not a guilty question. It's a one to kind of just stir the soul, all right? So it's a kind of question we can pray into in our communities and in one-to-ones, in our own walk with God, just to think and just, but don't go too kind of deep and analytical about it, all right? And don't start crying or anything like that. It's just to think, actually, who is it I hang out with? And if you think, actually, there's not a lot of people I hang out with that are non-Christians, it's just to begin to pray into it. Just leave it and just lay it at Jesus' feet, all right? And maybe if you don't know your neighbor yet, maybe is actually that's a starting place. And we've got to know our neighbors fairly well. Got some benefits. I'm going to go and watch a Celtic game next month because he's got a season ticket. That's a big kind of like, hey, you're going to go experience that. All right? But actually, in all this, is an opportunity to get to know people. But also, let's not get weird about it and say, I've started to get to know some sinners. All right? Don't go into all this kind of jargon stuff. All right? They are people that are lost and need to know Jesus. So that's a question that I want you just to think about and pray into, and I'm certainly challenged by that. And certainly what I love being part of Lighthouse, being part of this church, there's a real heart for worship. I don't know about you, but when we worship in the sense of sung worship, like this morning, it just draws you in into the presence of Jesus. I love that. The scripture that was read by Hannah from Revelation, linking that in, it draws you into the goodness of God. But actually, we want to go beyond just what happens here on a Sunday morning. We want to keep Jesus at the center of everything we do. So Lighthouse is about making a difference to so many lives, all right, because of Jesus. But whether that's through Sunday gatherings, or whether that's through community groups, or one-off events, or whatever in the life of the church, we want to keep building a culture of inviting people to know Jesus. We want to be a people that are passionate about mission. And this is a kind of a challenge to me, and I say I'm quite an honest person. I'm an honest person, all right? That actually, do I cover these conversations or these opportunities in prayer? And I say that's just a personal challenge, but that's not like a guilty kind of like condemning, but it's just one to provoke me and think, actually, you know, do I cover our meetings in prayer? Do I cover our opportunities to have conversations in prayer? And it's a healthy challenge. And it's one that in life we can go on in work and all these things and we just think each week comes and goes and comes and goes. Actually, I need to press the pause button and cover everything we do in the life of the church in prayer. In my own life, do I cover it in prayer? So as I say, this is kind of just beginning to kind of land this morning. We are called to be different, but not weird, okay? So even though the aim of the Pharisees calling Jesus a friend of sinners was to put Jesus down, it's something that's important for us to remember that we need to follow his example. But as I say, we don't go around just saying, oh, you're a sinner. You know, that's kind of like, that would be a bit unhelpful. But we need to love people where they're at with the prayer and the hope of seeing their lives transformed. And we need to keep reminding ourselves that, yes, we have been saved. Yes, we are different. But the fact is that actually we're still living in this broken world. So as we live in this world, what we can do, whatever time we've got, is we can point people towards Jesus. That's what we can do. So here's a couple of just things that kind of do's and don'ts. Don't try to be someone else, okay? You carry your own unique story of how you came into relationship with Jesus, how he saved you, okay? God also gives you specific skills, talents, and giftings, okay? And don't panic if you don't quite know actually what can I contribute, all right? Sometimes that takes little time to kind of explore that, as I said earlier. But the fact is, don't try. Be inspired by other people around you, but don't try to be like, I'm going to be that person, okay? Your personality and character is unique, but also this can lead to you being stubborn, okay? Anyone stubborn here? Donna's got both hands and legs up in the air, all right? But actually, stubbornness can also mean that actually I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. This is who I am. This is what God made me to be. Actually, that can be defense wall up. I'm not going to change. Can I encourage you this morning, if you feel that you've been in that place, is just come with open arms and just say, actually, Lord, just help me to be a person that's willing to be changed by you. As I said to you before, I gave the example that I'd never do youth work, but God heard that and used it and changed it. Okay? I'd also say don't go all theological on people, all right? Especially if you're just meeting them for the first time. Don't go into that kind of like debate. One thing we learned when we did Bless on the Bridge, that's where we were kind of located, all right, with these young people. It would be on a Friday night, and there'd be drunk people coming out of the pubs. And we quickly discovered that people that are under the influence of alcohol, they don't really want to have a chat with you. They just want to tell you things like the Bible contradicts itself. And when you say, have you got an example, that was always the worst mistake, because that would just open up, kind of like them just going on about stuff, all right? So it's actually just make sure, though, that you don't go into deep debates and arguments. You're not trying to win an argument. You're trying to win people to Christ, okay? So it's important that we point people towards Jesus, all right? It's not you or I that saves, it's Jesus, all right? So here's some encouragement and challenge as we land this. So we all have a part to play. Don't compare yourselves to others. And remember, we carry different giftings, skills, and experiences and stories in life. But where we make up the different parts of the church, I love the backing music I've got with this, the different parts of the church, you make up part of the body of the church, all right? So where someone might be really, really good from an evangelistic kind of point, okay, they make up part of the body. You make up another part. And the fact is that we're all part of the body of Christ, okay? So I've heard in the past, people come up to me and say, Nathan, I would love to help with the Alpha course, but all I can do is help make the coffees. That's joy to my ears, all right? I say to people, that's not a small part to play, all right? That's huge. You are helping to serve people. That role is as important as anybody else, as anybody else, okay? So if someone comes up to Hannah and Tom and says, oh, I find it quite difficult to engage in conversations with people, but I could help maybe clean the building, I think Tom and Hannah will be like, no, they'll be like, no, that's part of what we need to do, serving the community. It might be that I'd find it hard that I can't commit to doing something, but actually I might be able to help make a meal for somebody. It might be financial, that I can't give a lot of time because I'm really busy with work, but actually I could financially support an area of the life of the church that's going to support others. It doesn't matter what role you can bring to the church. It's all as important as any other, okay? As long as the heart is all about let's go and make a difference, then it's all really, really important. So this is just the last bit. Never underestimate the power of how God can use you, your words and the way that you serve, and when it comes to talking about mission. And as I say before, who knows how God uses that one conversation, or a word of knowledge, or even just simply saying that Jesus loves you. We don't know where that will lead, but we know God does. And it could be in that very moment that God changes their life, or it could be years later. but let's follow Jesus' example, who spent time with people that were outcasts or broken or the lonely or whatever list we can go through of Jesus hang out with. But we need to be, as a church, ready to hear his voice and just say, let's go. So can I invite, if you're able to, why don't you stand? We'll let Chris hobble. And I just want to, I'm just going to be open for these next few minutes of really of what God might be saying to you as an individual. I'm excited for the life of this church because there's a real heart about let's go. Still learning what that's going to look like, but that's the best place to be because we're saying, Lord Jesus, we don't have all the answers. And that's not what he calls us to be, but he calls us to be obedient. He calls us to be humble. He calls us to be a people that were saying, Lord, it's you that we trust. And so I just want to invite maybe just to close your eyes, maybe just to lift up your hands. And lifting up your hands this morning is just simply saying, Lord, we come empty-handed. But we know that actually that's not a weakness, that's a strength because we come to you knowing that you're the God above all things. And maybe there's something I've said this morning that has just kind of hit your heart. As I say, anything, my prayer this morning is that nothing of it has laid any guilt, but actually is going to liberate your heart this morning. But Lord Jesus, I just want to simply pray over each one of us this morning that we want to have a let's go heart. We want to be a people that are saying we want to advance, not retreat. We want to be a people this morning that want to say we want to reach the marginalized even more. We want to reach people that are the brokenhearted, that are struggling with mental health, that are struggling with trying to figure out life, but they're trying this, that, and other. And we want to be a church that says, actually, we got the light of the world, the hope of the world, the one who was and is to come. And that name is Jesus. And he is the one that can transform lives. So maybe there's just something that you just want to, maybe if Chris is just happy just to pluck a few strings for a moment and just want to say that, is there something that you just want to bring to God one-to-one right now? Just bring it to him. You can say it under your breath, you can say it out loud, but this is a safe place.